If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I get so many headaches every month.
It could be chronic migraine, 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. It's not for those who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Prescription Botox is injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Why wait? Ask your doctor. Visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and as you can tell, my voice is a little bit shot from the bachelorette party that I went to in Tulum this past weekend. So if you hear me crack, if you just happened, I'm obviously a little more raspier today, but I still obviously had to do my mailbag episode for you guys. So here we go. So today's episode is a mailbag episode. And a bunch of you submitted questions on social media all about, we've gotten a lot of big news in the Bravo world over the past week or so. So there's a lot to get into. Let's just jump right into it, honestly. So let's start with Roni, because obviously on last Friday and over the weekend, there was sort of a whiplash. Okay, is this show getting canceled? Are we done with Roni? Is that true? Page Six reported on Friday afternoon that Bravo was ditching the franchise for the time being. And then Andy came out and he was like, no, that's not true. And he sort of doubled down on it. So it's a little hard to understand exactly what's happening here. But a bunch of people asked me to talk about that. So Will Ozer, friend of the pod who was on recently, he said, need your thoughts on the second cancellation of Roni. Where do we go from here? Several other people also asked about this, of course. And these questions were mostly submitted before Andy commented on a post that The Cut did on Instagram that was like, bye bye, Roni. And he commented, cute story, but it's not canceled. And then Kate Arthur from Variety, another friend of the pod who does a lot of great reporting for them, she tweeted basically like, no, nothing new has changed in terms of Roni's status at Bravo. It was left out of the press release, and which means that like they're figuring it out, but that doesn't mean that it's canceled or like on permanent hiatus like Dubai is. And Andy quote threaded that, and he did like a bunch of pointing emojis to that. So he really doubled down on that. So to me, it's very clear that it's not canceled. Andy posting twice tells me everything I need to know. They did not do that for Dubai. They do not do that for other moments where a report like this had come out about somebody or a show being on pause. And they haven't done this sort of double denial like that before. So to me, that means that it actually is definitely not canceled. Jessel also commented on the post and she said that she thought she'd have to go back to filming Pavitt eating tacos permanently. And she's very glad she doesn't have to do that. But to me, the cast commenting is different because I think that they are very much up in the air. I think Roni, the franchise, is not, but I think the people very much are. So I do think the show is probably on an extended hiatus, a la Atlanta, maybe a la Jersey, as they really take their time to figure out the casting of it. But I'd be surprised if it was even as long as Jersey's been. I think that it's going to be a slightly extended hiatus, but I don't think it's going to be more than 6 months or a year. Personally, that's my sort of instinct about this, especially given, again, how intense Andy was in his reaction to the Page Six story. And when it comes to the cast, I feel like the two closest to being safe are Aaron and Jessel. But again, I don't think that any single person is safe from any sort of decision that the network makes about the cast, because I don't think that there's an attachment to anybody that's big enough to sort of mark them safe. You know what I mean? And I'll get to it in a second. But I think complicating this is definitely the fact that there's such a big call for Bravo to figure out what they're going to do with some of the Summer House people who are aging out of the show, and or not aging out, but sort of evolving out in terms of lifestyle. Does that mean that they're going to have to put Lindsay and or Paige and people like that on Roni, which would be a total first, which there's no precedent for? Or does that mean that they're going to make the Valley for New York and do that for them? It's not that different of an age range. It's not that different of a lifestyle. But the difference is that I do think that Bravo sort of puts people in buckets in terms of like what show they're on. So like if you're on Vanderpump Rules, if you're on Summer House, if you're on Southern Charm, those shows are the younger shows. And I think that like us as viewers and maybe the network too, we think about these people the way that we met them. And so I do think it's kind of a big leap to take somebody like who's on one of those younger shows and put them on Housewives and be able to like feel like that's where they belong. I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly, but I think that's why we've never seen it happen before. I think that those are two sort of siloed parts of Bravo's programming slate, and like I would love to see it happen, but I think that that is probably a big hangup for them in terms of putting somebody from Summer House on Roni. I'll get more to the Valley type show for New York City in a second. But yeah, I think that with Roni, it's like it's very clear that season two was received very poorly. It was objectively not good. And it annoyed me that people pretended that it was amazing just to sort of blow smoke up the right person's ass. Like, it wasn't good. It was not a good season. And I actually kind of liked their first season. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't amazing by any means, but I do think there was promise in that first season. And I think they just like, they went the wrong direction with season two and it just wasn't good. And I think that there is some potential in some of the individual cast members, no doubt, but the vibes and the dynamic are off and they don't connect with the large portion of the viewership and they're missing something. The show's missing something. But I think that overall, all signs actually point to it not being canceled. It's not a Miami situation where it's not hitting them back for a decade. I think Roni is an incredibly important piece of IP for Bravo. It's an incredibly important franchise for Housewives and for the show. And Bravo, if you think about it, is a very New York-centric network. The clubhouse is in New York. That's where Andy lives. That's where Bravo headquarters are. Roni has historically been one of the most popular shows on the network. And so, like, they will always have Real Housewives of New York, in my opinion. I think that they'll never abandon that because it's too important and it's too sort of inextricably tied to Bravo's DNA as a network. All right, related, Liz Schneider on Instagram asks, with the announcement of the Valley Persian style and the rumor that Roni is not coming back so quickly, so no chance to see Lindsay or Paige on that, do we think that they do something similar to New York with their Summer House crew that they did with the Valley? It just feels like we need a place for these reality stars as their lives mature out of the Summer House, then reboot Summer House itself around West, Jesse, maybe Lexi, etc. So this is definitely something that I've talked about a lot on this show. It's an idea that I've been endorsing for quite some time because I think it is kind of a no-brainer. But as I said, there's a ton of interest and investment in these personalities. So they need to figure out a path forward for people like Lindsay and like Amanda and Kyle, like eventually Paige, if she wants to stick with reality TV. It seems like that's something that she's sort of teetering with herself. But I fully think they should do a show like this. And it doesn't mean that everybody from Summer House should be able to graduate into it. And I do think they should fill out the cast with other people that we don't know, like the Valley has done. But Again, I think it's a no-brainer. And Liz also asked for a prediction about the announcement that Jesse teased on Amazon Live at the end of last week. He said there was some big announcement made towards the end of the Summer House reunion that surprised a lot of them. And, you know, I think a lot of people are speculating that it has something to do with the future of Summer House, with a potential spinoff or something. That's where they would announce that. And I feel like there isn't really a precedent for that either, in terms of them like announcing some big spinoff at the reunion. And it's entirely possible that that is part of the announcement, which I have no intel about. But I don't think that any potential show is at that stage to be ready to announce it in such a big, splashy way on a reunion stage. My personal instinct is that it's not a big show announcement. It could be that somebody announces their exit from the show, potentially. I've seen some speculation that people think that it could be that Amanda's pregnant. I don't really think that. I think, you know, Amanda and Kyle were at a wedding this past weekend, and she was holding a drink in at least one of the videos that Kyle posted from them dancing on the dance floor at the wedding. So, like, I'm not sure I think that's it either. And I'm also not in the business of policing what somebody's body looks like. So, I don't know. I'm not too sure, but that's definitely a theory that I've seen online in the days since Jesse said that there was a big announcement. But there are definitely some clues that, like, there's something up, right? Because, like, think about the after show. That ended abruptly after 2.5 episodes, which is very weird to me. There's no way that was the plan for them to do 2.5 episodes of the after show, like, midway through the season and then to stop. That makes no sense to me. No other show has done that. So that is suspicious and weird to me. Lindsay, when she made those comments on her Instagram story this past week about seeing the conversation that Carl had about her talking about his business and Softbar, and some of the comments he made in that conversation, in her statement on her Instagram story, she said that she had not seen those comments before filming the reunion, because that episode aired after the reunion was filmed. But usually the cast will get screeners of all the rest of the episodes to binge before the reunion. And it's really weird that Lindsay wouldn't have seen that conversation. So does that mean that it was cut out of the episode? Does that mean that they didn't get to see a lot of the episodes before the reunion? I'm not sure. But that's also something weird that I have my eye on. So I don't know. Like, and then there's also the whole thing about Emeril being edited out of the last episode completely. Like, he was at that dinner where West got the hug from Amanda while talking about the death of his friend. And he wasn't shown in the episode at all. He was at the house. That's also weird. Like, I don't know. Like, there's a couple things that have piled up for this season of Summer House where I'm like, huh, there's some interesting production things happening here that I'm not sure what they mean or add up to. And I don't know if they have to do with the announcement per se, but, like, I don't know. It makes me think. All right. Callum Rennie on Twitter says, what do you honestly think is happening with Roni and Summer House? I genuinely think that the girls from Summer House are transitioning to an almost Ladies of NYC show, which will kind of take the place of Roni while they figure that out and will be announced at the reunion. Again, I don't really think that's going to be announced at the reunion. I could be wrong. I think that Lindsay would be amazing on Roni, and I publicly advocated for her and Paige to join. But it's also something, like I said, that has never happened before. And there are so many irons in this sort of like New York Bravo show fire that I just don't know what they're going to do, right? You also have Next Gen NYC. You have Roni that's on, you know, a temporary pause. You have this idea of the Summer House women having their own show, or of the Valley for Summer House, where we focus on couples in their 30s and 40s as they're in that next stage of life. Like, how do you differentiate from all those things? Should they all exist? Like, do some of those sort of eat into the territory of the other? I don't know. I think the answer to that is yes, but that doesn't mean they can't all exist. And I will say, I've heard about people, and to be clear, I'm not talking about Lindsay, test filming for a New York show centered on a similar idea. I don't know if it's the exact same. I don't know if it's just a production company testing things out, because that does happen a lot, or where people will test film for things. Like, you know, Dumois is always saying, like, oh, like, you know, this new potential show is spotted filming in XYZ city or whatever. And, like, a lot of the times those things don't come to fruition. So take this with a grain of salt. But I have heard of some test filming happening that could potentially be in this area of a show. But again, I'm not sure what direction they're going to go with here. I really am not. It's hard to tell. And also, like, they just announced 4 new shows on Bravo. So, like, anything that's potentially being worked out right now is not close enough at all to be announced, in my opinion. Like, if they were so far into the development of a Summer House spinoff for people that are graduating out of the show, why would they have announced four new shows just a couple weeks earlier as in a really big official way and then just sort of like announce a fifth new show on the Summer House reunion? Like that feels weird to me. So that's why I don't think it's a new show announcement. That's going to happen at the reunion. Fill It Up 04 on Instagram asks a couple questions relating to Summer House. Is Sierra dragging out the hate for West? I feel like the punishment doesn't fit the crime. So I don't think that Sierra's been dragging out her hate for him. I think that she got it out of her system towards the beginning of the season. And then she just kind of realized around then that she doesn't really fuck with him anymore. You know, I think that, you know, remember again, like yet again, I have to say this, which is like, this was 2 to 3 months after that extremely raw reunion that aired. And then she filmed Traitors. And then this New York Times interview comes out and then she jumps back into filming. She has not processed it before filming started for the season. It has not been that long. Yeah, us as viewers, a year later, it feels like it's been being dragged out. But like within the confines of the show, it has not been that long. And I just don't view her as dragging it out. I don't. I understand why people do feel that way. But I think that's more of a reflection of where we are as viewers than it is a reflection of where she should be as a person during the filming of this season. And because, you know, Summer House is this really unique show where like their filming schedule has to be during the summer. There's a very quick turnaround between the end of the reunion and it airing and then them jumping back into filming. It's just several weeks. That is when they sign contracts. That is when they know what they're doing for the summer, whether they're going to be in the house or not. Like it's a really quick turnaround. And I think in that time, you just don't have time to process a lot of things. And I think that is an underrated element of the show that contributes to lingering things. Like I think that contributes to Lindsay and Carl, things lingering between them this season that we've seen play out this season. Like I also got some pushback, I think last week when I tweeted that I think that Sierra is a really good reality star. I said something like, you know, I love that there's this balance with her of like having really good instincts of when to sort of go after somebody or create a big moment, which is what she did with West earlier this season. It's when her and Danielle got into that huge argument a couple seasons ago. It's when she knows when to sort of have an emotional conversation with a good friend like Paige. It's when she knows when to step back. But then she also doesn't always lead with her good instincts, though. Sometimes she leads with her emotions, and that's when she storms off, or that's when she says, fuck you, or that's when she pops off or starts crying. Like, I love the sort of varied reactions that we get from Sierra, and I love that unpredictability. I love that she's divisive. I love that she doesn't always make the perfect decisions. I love that she sometimes can't help herself but to get into another showmance. Like, that to me is the making of a good reality star. You don't want them to be perfect. You don't want them to make the best decision for everybody, them like every single time. And I don't know, like I just think that like people are really hard on Sierra for some reason. I don't really understand why. And I also think when it comes to Wes, I think him shutting down, that's not Sierra's fault. And I think that him shutting down, one, turned her off from him even more. I think that she lost respect for Wes when he shut it down so much. And I think that that also exacerbates the feeling that she is punishing him more than she actually is. Like just because he is sort of acting really sort of downtrodden doesn't mean that like that's her punishing him. You know what I mean? Like he's disengaged. The second half of the season, he could have been completely himself, but he hasn't been. And obviously we've learned last week that there are other things contributing to that, but like again, that's not her fault. That's not her punishing him for the whole summer. And just because she does not engage with questions about him on Watch What Happens Live also doesn't mean that she's punishing him. It just means she doesn't fuck with him anymore, and that's okay. Another question that PhilipUp04 on Instagram asked was why Jesse isn't getting more hate this season. It sounds like he got off easy from the girls at the reunion. So yeah, I have heard for sure that Jesse does not get nearly as much heat as Wes did last year at the reunion. But to me, it makes sense. Wes was a new person to them last season. Sierra was one of their own and she was the spurned one. Of course, they're going to go after Wes. They have less investment in him. This time, it's Jesse that's one of their own. Lexi's the new one. And so that in and of itself makes them more inclined to sort of believe his side of things and to defend him. And I also think that Lexi going after Sierra in this upcoming episode of Summer House is perhaps the reason why the rest of the house does not stick up for her at the reunion as much as you might expect them to. I also do kind of believe that she's misrepresenting some of how she acted in the private moments with Jesse in terms of like pushing for things and whatnot. Though that being said, not nearly as much or nearly as hurtfully as he did. But I do think that they sort of recognize some behavior in her. You know what I mean? Last question from Philip about Summer House. has it actually delivered this season? It had a strong start and died down after the first half. Did the OGs coast? There's little drama other than Lexi and Jesse in the second half. Again, I think that's a completely fair assessment. And I, you know, there are times when I have felt that way, but ultimately I do think this season has delivered. I think the past couple episodes have dragged a little bit, with especially with Jesse and Lexi stuff. I think that, like, it's getting a little bit old, especially the sort of back and forth of it all. But I otherwise think it's been a really solid season of Summer House. I really do. Like, I think the first half was obviously stronger. There was a lot going on, and some of it has definitely petered out. And right now it feels like it's only been Jesse and Lexi. But again, they had a lot of stuff at the beginning of the season. There was Paige and Craig. There was Kyle, Paige and Craig. There was Lindsay and Carl. There was Lindsay's pregnancy. There was Sierra and Wes. There was the beginnings of Jesse and Lexi. There was Danielle coming in and being a little shady. Like, there was Emeril and all his hooking up. Like, there was a lot of stuff in the first two thirds of the season. So I think that's a pretty good ratio. And it's not like there's nothing going on right now, but I think that, like, it's the Jesse and Lexi stuff is definitely getting a little bit tired. And also, this next episode looks great. The preview for it made me really excited for it. It seems like a lot's going to go on. So I agree. It's been stalling a little bit, but I have faith for the last couple episodes of the season. And I also am not sure about the idea that the OGs were coasting. I mean, Lindsay is pregnant, so you have to have some different expectations with her in the party house and how much she's actually going to get into the drama. I think Amanda and Kyle are talking a lot about their kid situation right now. Amanda is sort of getting involved in the Lexi and Jesse of it all. Paige has been opening up all season about Craig, getting very emotional about that. There's, you know, the whole thing with Sierra and Jesse and West. I think the one person who's probably grasping for a storyline a little bit and maybe coasting is Carl. I mean, like, this Sierra and Carl thing was ridiculous. The soft bar thing, it depends on your perspective on that, I think, in terms of how you're taking that. But, like, otherwise, I don't think the OGs have been coasting very much at all. Okay, and Space on Thread says, does it speak to the strength of the show / talent when they go on Watch Weapons Live with non-Bravo folk? It feels like all of the Summer House ladies have been with non-Bravo talent lately. That is such an interesting question that I had not thought about before. Now that I do think about it, when you bring it up, I think maybe it does signal that. I think that particularly when it feels like that person watches Summer House, I think it hammers home how ingrained Summer House is in the Bravo ecosystem at this point. And I think, again, it gets to that point of investment in personalities by viewers. And that's really hard to cultivate. And I think that's really hard to replicate. And I do think it signifies something important. And I think sometimes these Summer House girls are even first chair ahead of the celebrity that they're with. So it's definitely like a sign of the popularity of Summer House and its connection to the viewership. And I think that Watch Happens Live books talent in a variety of different ways. Like, you hear about even sometimes celebrities or people will request certain nights where a show is on or where certain talent is on to be sitting with them. And I also think it's obviously all about availability, but ultimately I do think that's a good sign for Summer House too. I think that's a really good point. Xavier Andrews on Threads, if Real Housewives of Rhode Island's first season were to follow the playbook of another franchise's first season, which would you want it to be most like? That's a really good question. There's the comparisons that I mentioned last week to Real Housewives in New Jersey. So that's the obvious first answer there, where it really is about the sort of like really deep ties of a family driven community. And again, all signs are sort of pointing to that being the vibe of this first season of The Real Housewives of Rhode Island. And I think it is currently a missing piece in the Housewives landscape that people seem to be craving. So I do hope that the cast is some genuinely interconnected people that are easy to get invested in. When I think about that idea, the other franchise's first season that comes to mind is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's not all about family, and it's not all about sort of really deep roots with one another, but there was the Kyle and Kim of it all, and that was a big driver of the first season. I would be happy with that too. You know what I mean? So, like, you scratch the family itch, but it doesn't dominate the season. I'm actually, now the more I think about it, like, that could be even more interesting. So yeah, those are the two that come to mind, Jersey and Beverly Hills. Boom Beth Stein on Instagram. Do you think Rhode Island is filling the gap for New Jersey? In the near term, yes, I do. Again, for all the reasons that I just mentioned. In the long term, as I said last week, I think that Real Housewives of New Jersey is coming back eventually. I don't think it's permanently on pause. And I stand by that. So I don't think it's going to fill the gap permanently, but I do think temporarily it really could. especially because like if they really have filmed part of the show already, it's ahead in terms of timeline from Jersey. So we'll probably see Real Housewives of Rhode Island before we see another season of Real Housewives of New Jersey. Trampoline Eyes, great name, on Twitter asks, with the announcement of R-H-O-R-I, that's kind of hard to say, and the rumors and nastiness about other cities filming/film pilots in the last year, do you think Bravo will greenlight more new Housewives shows soon? And if so, what places would you want to see? So the rumors are amping up about Chicago, I feel like. There were already a lot of rumors about Rhode Island, and those turned out to be true. And I feel like I keep hearing different little tidbits about Chicago, whether that's Dubois blind items or fan pages about Bravo reposting things, TikTok, people saying that people were cast for a show in Chicago or they spotted things filming. It feels like with that, where there's smoke, there's fire. So, you know, it's one of the biggest cities in America. There's not a Midwest Housewives right now. I think that is sort of an obvious choice. And there was actually a blind item on Dumois about them filming at a baseball game last week. And it said Real Housewives of Chicago. So I am inclined to think that that is real. But I also could see that trend stalling for another year or two or three again, just like it did after Potomac and Dallas premiered around the same time, and just like it did after Dubai, which is the most recent new Housewives franchise. So I could see Rhode Island and Chicago being sort of the next ones on the map. Colleen on Twitter, what are your thoughts on the new Bravo shows announced last week? Any you're looking forward to? I talked a lot about them at the beginning of last week's episode, the state of every Real Housewives franchise. So if you want in-depth thoughts on those, go to that episode. But I'm really looking forward to all of them, honestly. I'm probably most looking forward to Rhode Island and Ladies of London. But I think they're all really great directions for Bravo, and you know, as we think about this new era of the network. And by the way, about Wife Swap, I did get something wrong about that. So the concept is actually a little different than I think a lot of people assumed that it was, or maybe we just kind of all brushed over something. But the Wife Swap concept is actually not going to be two Real Housewives switching families. It is going to be a Real Housewife switching spots with a regular housewife. Like a real housewife that's not on TV. So it's like a famous person going into a non-famous person's house and vice versa. So obviously that's actually a pretty different concept and show from what I assumed it was. And that personally makes me a little bit less excited about it, but I think it could still be obviously a very good show. And I wasn't a huge Shaw's person, but I'm still excited for them to come back. And the comments by celebs gals are doing a rewatch of that right now. And I'm kind of tempted to if I can find the time, but that's a tall order for myself right now. So no promises there, but I'm excited for them. They're stars, you know, and they're again part of their legacy talent at the network. And I always am going to support opportunities for the legacy talent of the network. And then I also heard Real Housewives of London is filming, apparently. And the word on the street is that an OG cast member of Ladies of London might be on the cast. My guess is it's Juliet, but that's just speculation because I heard that she was really trying to be cast. All right, Colleen on Twitter also asks, who do you think wrote/submitted the questions for the Valley reunion? Do you think episodes were sent out to some viewers to get a variety of questions about the entire season? That is such a good question too. And it's hard because this is also an unprecedented situation for the network, kind of, where like they filmed the reunion after only three episodes of the season having aired because of Nia and Kristen's pregnancies. And that means that there's no way the cast saw every single episode. So if the cast probably didn't see all the episodes, I don't think production would have sent the episodes to random fans to ask questions. I think that production probably wrote questions, and they're either going to fake names or they're just going to have them be presented as Andy's questions, maybe. I don't know. But I doubt that they got viewers to ask questions. Gareth on Instagram says, Alex said in last week's episode that he doesn't need New York City or any housewives to be aspirational, just be authentically their weird and wonderful selves. OG Roni started off as Manhattan moms. OC was about specific people behind the gates. Potomac and Dallas were both first focus on etiquette and society. Salt Lake City were cast as businesswomen. Jersey girls just went to the same salon. Do we need housewives to be anything more than a group of friends? Great question. Great things to call out and sort of connect those dots. I do think, though, that all of those things are aspirational in different ways. So I do think that a Housewives franchise and cast overall maintaining a level of aspiration from the viewer is really important and crucial to the effect of the show. I think it is a sort of a peek behind the gate, a peek behind the curtain of a aspirational lifestyle that we may not be familiar with. And whether that is just an affluent suburb, whether that is Manhattan, whether that is a gated community in Orange County, whether that is businesswomen in Salt Lake City, whether that is just sort of like high class, you know, charity worlds in Dallas and the DC suburbs, like all of that has an element of aspiration to me. They don't have to be filthy rich or in glam 24/7 or have the quintessential nuclear family or even a husband. But I do think that they have to have something in there that makes their life something that can be sort of sought after. And I think about Monica in Salt Lake City, where it's like she connected so well in so many ways. She was so good in the group dynamic. She was funny. She was charismatic. But I do think that she was missing the aspirational quality. She didn't have the finances and her family life was really complicated. And she was kind of rough around the edges. And I don't mean that in sort of in a negative way, but like, I do think that that's part of the reason why she didn't connect for everybody. And that's also what made her feel like an outsider. And I think you can still be a successful housewife as an outsider, but I just think that all the examples you mentioned above have an aspirational quality to them. And I think cast as a whole should feel that way. But I get the sentiment, and I think that's why this group of Roni women didn't work. I think the sentiment is more maybe based less around aspiration and more on interconnectedness and sort of natural roots in the cast. Because I think with the Roni reboot, there was zero organic connection between like any of them, not even like two of them. You know, it wasn't like two of them were best friends or two of them worked together or two of them's kids were best friends or two of them were enemies even. They all felt like they came from different worlds. And there has to be at least a pair of people that can sort of be the basis of a center of a cast that do have that connection. And then you branch out from there. But there has to be some level of shared history or overlap. Otherwise, it just is not going to work. And so I think that means that your point is correct. But I think the aspirational quality is sort of separate from that. And that's why even the Valley is partially working, because they don't really have the aspiration necessarily. They do have that when it comes to maybe like their kids and, you know, some of their like reality star fame, I guess. But like what they do have is the shared history. They're all spilling the old tea about one another all the time. That's why the after show is so good, because they have all this information about each other. And that informs their relationships. That informs their connections. That informs how they move on the show. And they hang out off camera. And I do think that that quality might have shifted a little bit for Roni after that Puerto Rico trip and the reunion, which sort of trauma bonded them. But I think that that was maybe just too little too late.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Jay Riva Danielle on Instagram asks, what do you think about the increasing number of housewives that are starting YouTube pages and podcasts? Do you think it takes away or is a distraction from the show? Yeah, I mean, I obviously came out pretty strong against it earlier this spring when it felt like we got like 8 podcast announcements from different Bravo celebrities and from different shows in like 3 days. Like it just felt like so much, like this onslaught of like seemingly unnecessary shows. And, you know, again, I'm not fundamentally against Bravo celebrities having podcasts or YouTube shows or what have you. I think they should all be able to tell their story in the way they are able to. But I just think it's too much to keep track of, you know? Like, when there's so much to pay attention to, it just takes away from the primary central storytelling vehicle that is the show, that is Real Housewives of New York, that is The Valley, that is Summer House. And I think that when you're asking viewers essentially to watch the episode, then watch the Watch What Happens Live, then watch the after show. And also maybe pay attention to some of the press interviews that pop up here and there that are big features places. And then also keep track of their podcast episodes to get the full picture. That's a lot of fucking homework. And what happens is if you're a viewer that doesn't do that, if you just watch the shows, maybe you're watching on Peacock 4 days later and that's how you consume your Bravo shows, and that's great. That's not how I watch, but there are plenty of people who watch that way. And if that person begins to get confused or feel like they're behind or feel like they can't keep track of everything with their because there are just too many different properties and platforms to pay attention to, then they're going to probably drop the show. That they feel like they've lost the connective tissue, or they can't connect the dots. Like, I think that it's just too much to ask for viewers. And I think, like, yeah, sometimes I enjoy a Housewives or Bravo Celebrities podcast, but these days I tend to veer more into it being a distraction and thinking that way, because if I don't have the energy for it, like, and it's my job to do so, like, I'm just like, I can't imagine what other people who have less time and less energy to devote to these shows feel. And I actually heard of something this week even that was cut out of a podcast because it was sharing too much information about something behind the scenes Bravo related. So, like, it's definitely something that the network and sort of officials are keeping their eyes on. It's hard to imagine like they could implement a big rule because so many of them do have these shows already. You know what I mean? But former Housewives, that's something I'm all for, because and that gets into That's So Chris's question on Instagram. He says, what are your thoughts on NeNe Leakes' talk show? She just had Cynthia Bailey on and shared that she has a connection or has met each housewife on Atlanta except for Brit. I feel like we are closer than ever for her return. So, I do think that a lot of the seeming momentum for a NeNe return, it's kind of wishful thinking. Unfortunately, that's kind of my impression. If you realize, like, anytime that a guest sort of unknowingly brings up a NeNe reference or NeNe on Watch What Happens Live, for example, I feel like Andy just like sort of smiles and nods. He doesn't really acknowledge it. He doesn't really engage. And that to me is a telling sign that it's not as close as it may seem. Personally, that's just sort of my read on it. But for somebody like NeNe, I think having a YouTube show is a fantastic idea. I think she was off screens for way too long. It's been years since she's had a long form medium to engage with people and to sort of put out new content in that way. And I think that she should have done it sooner, honestly. Like, she needs to, like, she's somebody that needs to have a platform for that kind of thing. Like, she is too much of an influential personality. She is too big of a personality. She is too much of an icon not to be somebody who people can tap into every single week if they so please. You know what I mean? Like, I have not had time to check out the Cynthia chat, but I definitely will this week or this weekend. And it makes me so happy that it happened. And it makes me so happy that NeNe seems really dedicated to doing this YouTube show. And I think it's a great way generally for an ex-housewife to keep telling her story to her diehard fans, or to that next level down of fan who occasionally wants to tap into their show when they have a guest that they're interested in, or to occasionally hear somebody like NeNe, you know, hear her touch on the current state of her franchise. Like, that's great. I'm so glad that exists. And I think that's why to me it's different for a former housewife versus a current Bravo celebrity. All right, regarding Alex on Instagram asks, Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion is soon. Bravo knows fans want her. Will they find a way to get Kenya? I mean, I would be extremely surprised at this point if Kenya made it to the reunion. I would love to see it. I've been saying that for months. I just feel like it's too far gone and they've moved past it. They don't even bring her up anymore. You know, like, it's not asked about on Watch What Happens Live. They don't mention her on the after show. It kind of feels like they're chugging along, and I don't think they want to go backwards and do that. Personally, that's my inclination in terms of what they'll do. Also, if you think about it, like, I was like, she did that one big confessional YouTube video, which she said was going to be a series, but she hasn't posted one since then. It was called Kenya's Confessionals, the ones they tried to silence or whatever. And she's only done one of them. It's been 3 weeks. To me, I think about, remember last season of Real Housewives of Orange County when Alexis Bellino was like so fed up with her edit? She was apparently calling production, and then she went to Instagram and she was like, I'm going to go live after every single episode and spill the real tea about what happened. And then that never happened. That means that the network intervened and asked her not to do that. And to me, Kenya only posting one of those videos when it seemed to be a planned series, it could be a similar thing. And if she's cooperating with that, she stopped live tweeting a lot of the episodes. Maybe that's a good sign for her in some capacity. Whether that means the reunion, I'm doubtful. I'm less doubtful for that to mean a potential further future season for her to rejoin the show. I have another idea of what it can mean, which I'll touch on for a later question. But yeah, I don't know. I really doubt that she'll be at the reunion, which I hope I'm wrong about. Adam Chrysakis on Instagram would love your take on seating arrangements at reunions and if there's a meaning to it. I've heard differing opinions. I think there's definitely meaning to it. I don't think every single spot has meaning, but I think there's absolutely meaning to it, particularly when it comes to who is on the very end and who is next to Andy. I think the middle seats can be kind of meaningless and random, and definitely sometimes seemingly weird choices are made, I think, to accommodate more pressing dynamics from the people closer to Andy. Like that one time on a Summer House reunion when Lindsay and Paige, who really didn't like one another at the time, were sitting next to one another, which meant they had to argue like sitting next to one another, which is not ideal for TV. And I also think that probably is the case with Michelle being on the very end of the Valley reunion this year, despite being central to one of the two biggest storylines of the season. Because just FYI to people online, being boring in the eyes of like really vocal viewers does not mean that somebody is undeserving of a key seat when you're so integral to that show. So like to me, Michelle being on the end is kind of a diss to her, and she deserves a way closer seat. Because again, even if you find her boring, which I don't, she is objectively very key to the season and it gets a lot of screen time. And so she should be way closer to Andy, personally. I think objectively that's true. Muhammad Yassin Alvi on Twitter said, which housewives realistically do you think will be on the next season of The Traitors, considering who's filming and who potentially might be done by the time it films? So obviously no one from Potomac, sadly. So yeah, probably nobody from Potomac, because The Traitors is going to film in June and Potomac is, I think, still probably not even halfway through filming their season. And that also means perhaps no Beverly Hills, because I have heard that at least some contracts have gone out for that cast. I don't know if that means all of them have, but I heard that Erica did in fact get a full-time contract for Beverly Hills, which means that they're probably filming soon. And she was also at the upfronts this week, and so was Dorit. So that means they're still part of the show, and that means they're filming soon. So I would doubt that we see somebody from Beverly Hills in The Traitors either. So Potomac and Beverly Hills probably off the table, but OC, Salt Lake City, which is on their final cast trip right now, which means they're done soon, Atlanta, Jersey, Roni, Miami, those are all fair game, those casts, I think, for The Traitors. So I would be shocked if nobody from Salt Lake was on it, because it's the moment. It feels like the most zeitgeisty show you think they would want to draw at least one person from that onto Traitors. So maybe it's Mary Cosby. I mean, Heather's also seemingly like a network favorite who gets a lot of opportunities. Same with Lisa Barlow. But this, I could also see this potentially being an opportunity for Kenya, you know, like maybe that's why she is seemingly cooperating on sort of on the YouTube side of things, where she was spilling a lot of behind the scenes tea and Bravo doesn't like that. So if she's cooperating, does that mean that she's getting another opportunity outside of Real Housewives of Atlanta? So I could see her being considered for The Traitors. Somebody like Lindsay could also be fair game too. I don't know anything, but like theoretically, she's not going to be in the Summer House every single weekend or even every other weekend this coming season with a young baby. So like, could she go to do The Traitors because of that? And Summer House doesn't even start filming until like July 4th weekend. So I can see that happening. I don't know. That's sort of where my mind goes with that question. All right, Gareth Sadel on Instagram also asked, do Bravo-lebrities and reality stars need to be relatable? Should they be good people? Should we be supporting them and rooting for them? Or are we watching from some sort of schadenfreude perspective? Is it compelling car crash TV? Another great question. And I think the magic is actually in the mix of all those things. I think different viewers are drawn to different archetypes and personalities and roles of reality stars. And I personally, just speaking for myself, I don't want them all to be relatable or good people, or have ideologies that I agree with or am familiar with. I think that's boring. I think that's uninteresting. I think it's too straightforward. personally, I like the complex, like competing feelings within myself about one person. I like feeling differently about one person from one season to another. I like when I can relate to people sometimes. I like the occasional metaphorical car crash of a person or a storyline. I like when people get second chances within reason. And I like when we see them learn from their behavior and see that growth and sort of like that building back up of a life. So yeah, I think all of the above personally. And I think that when that's the beauty of an ensemble cast is that you can have different people represent different things in that way. All right. He also asks, the range of women on Bravo is broad, but the number of guys is really quite small. The boys in Southern Charm are Peter Pans. The boys in Summer House are too. And VPR was full of narcs. Where are the good guys? So first of all, I wouldn't say that they're all bad guys. Personally, I would not say that. And also listen to my episode about the gender dynamics on Summer House to get a sort of deeper look into my thoughts on this topic. That was just a couple weeks ago. And it was a great one with Rebecca Jennings from Vulture based on her profile of the women from Summer House. But as I said on that episode, I do think that a lot of it just boils down to it just being a lot tougher to find men who work on these shows who are sort of cut out to exist for prolonged periods of time in the Bravo universe, because I think that the Bravo universe has a very female skewing audience, which I think both gives men more leeway and less leeway. I think some viewers have less tolerance for the men's bad behavior, and sort of maybe even sometimes so much so that they blow some of the bad behavior out of proportion. And I think some viewers have a higher tolerance for it and make excuses because of that. So I think that there's sort of this complicated sort of competing feelings about the men, which I think, again, makes for engaging reality television. It makes for good conversation. It makes for good debates. Like I know my friends debate about the Summer House and Southern Charm people all the time. That is good for engagement. That's good for investment. And I think that maybe that's the point, you know, maybe completely good guys in the way that you're saying don't make for the best reality TV and thus the best reality TV stars. I think we want to like both have like crushes on them, but also sometimes think they're clowns. And I think going back and teetering back and forth from that is sort of the sweet spot clearly for a male Bravo reality star. And I don't foresee that changing, to be honest. I think there's a reason why like the quote unquote good guys don't really last on these shows in a way. Again, in the way that you're sort of framing it. All right, last question. Han Adventures on Threads asks, what are three panels that you would love to see at this year's BravoCon? So yeah, they also made a big announcement about BravoCon up front yesterday. They announced when tickets are going on sale. That's in early June. They announced some of the talent that is expected to be there. They announced the different Watch What Happens Live tapings that are going to happen at the Vegas BravoCon in November, which I'm planning on going to. Hopefully see you there. I'm really excited for the Watch What Happens Live taping that's going to celebrate 20 years of Real Housewives, which is, I mean, you know that we're going to get some great OG old cast members, which I always love to see, always warms my heart to see that. I love the panels at BravoCon that happen as a show is filming, because it gives us insights into the shifting dynamics, even if they try to hide it. You know what I mean? Like if you're a really eagle-eyed audience member, you can pick up on cues and different shifting dynamics that are playing out on stage. And so I find that super interesting. I also like the ones that are about shows that are currently airing, because it almost serves as like a quasi reunion in the best cases. So those two types of panels are really, really fun, I think, when it comes to the cast panels. And then I also just love a crossover panel where we see people bonding over their shared experience as Bravo celebrities, particularly when it's housewives and non-housewives talent combined. I find those really, really fun and interesting too. And just like things that can only happen at BravoCon, you know, like that kind of crossover. So yeah, I hope I see you all at BravoCon. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. I'm so sorry about my voice. Like I definitely know there are some times in this episode where it probably sounds like I'm ill. I promise it's just I've lost my voice situation. But yeah, I still wanted to get this episode out for you guys. So I really appreciate you listening. We'll be back again on Friday with a new episode. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks again for submitting your questions. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabby Must Gabe wherever you're listening to this right now. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.